Welcome back again to KSL Outdoors Radio as we head into the final half hour. Bob Grovery joins us here along with Russ Smith from SkyCall. During the break on the half hour, you guys were having a conversation that I didn't even think about, Russ, but, you know, you've got people that are sort of on hold now, the usual river runners that might take a sat phone with them. What are you hearing?
Right. Well, the biggest, well, not the biggest part of my business, but a large part of my business is river runners. And I would say at any given time, we maybe have 15% of our inventory out with river runners. And I got nothing going out right now all summer. Now, that's not unusual. We're early on, but usually they usually reserve quite early too, because they've got boats and stuff they've got to reserve. So they just add the phone to the list. I've heard that any of the rivers run through national parks are probably closed. Now, that's not confirmed, but I don't know. Bob, what have you heard?
Yeah, I think that's right. Commercial rafting, I think, is pretty much shut down for now. So, you know, obviously in Moab, but putting a pause on tourism right now, all those commercial rafting companies are not operating. I think they discontinued issuing permits for the time being through the Grand Canyon. From what I've heard. And so I think right now we're not seeing any of it. So it's still early season. Yeah. Obviously down further south into the Grand Canyon, you're in the early part of the season. But I don't know what effect it's having on private rafting, but I think on commercial rafting, I think you're right. They're just not issuing permits right now and running the rivers. Yeah.
Rush, you were saying, you were talking about how some of these rivers obviously will pass through national park areas.
Right. Right. I don't know that there's very – well, there are some sections of rivers. They're not the most popular, though, that don't pass through national parks. Most of the good water is adjacent to national parks.
Yeah, you know, such as, you know, between Moab and Lake Powell going through Cataract and, you know, starting up at Westwater and coming down, you're going through Canyonlands and then eventually down to Glen Canyon. And then the Grand Canyon, of course, up north on the Green is going through Dinosaur National Monument. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, a lot of the good water runs through the parks.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Let's talk state parks here before we run out of time. And I just revisited the press release I got a couple of days ago from state parks, just for clarification.
Yeah.
They have canceled events through April 15th in compliance with recommendations from Governor Gary Herbert. But they make the point that although these events have been canceled, all state parks and recreation areas managed by the division remain open during their operating hours, which is good news. And visitors are encouraged to consult the Utah State Parks official COVID-19 webpage, which we have made available on our KSL website. So if you want to check that out. So they are still open, and Russ, you found an article the other day of four different ways to camp out at our state parks, which was kind of fun.
Yeah, it was a great article from Utah.com talking about private services that are kind of partnering with the state parks to make sure that you've got housing there. And a lot of state parks already have yurts and cabins, so you might go through all the state parks and look and see. I think it'd be kind of fun to have a nice RV waiting for you at a state park.
Yeah, there's a lot of these parks have really – my wife and I stayed in a yurt at Dead Horse Point last October. They set up some newer yurts, so they have two campgrounds now with yurts at Dead Horse. They have them at Goblin Valley. Up in your area, up at East Canyon, they have RV or trailers and yurts and cabins and campground. I mean, they've got a lot up there. I think they've got every style there. So, yeah, and they're fun to stay in. These yurts are very nice, too. I mean, it's not glamping type of yurts, but they've got propane grills, heaters inside, beds, couches. I mean, they're pretty comfortable.
Yeah, and I think we talked to you shortly after you had that experience at Dead Horse Point.
Yeah, I think we did. I went there because I wanted to see the night sky, because Dead Horse Point is one of the international dark sky parks, like Goblin Valley is as well. And so I wanted to be there at night. And lo and behold, it was a full moon.
No.
We were there.
Too much
we still
light.
Got
huh?
a nice dark sky, but not what I was hoping for.
Oh, sure. You should have done your meteorological work there to plan a little bit better.
Yeah.
They wanted people to know that those yurts at Dead Horse Point, and you could speak to this, actually will sleep up to six people. And they said in the article, take that, you tent-dwelling Neanderthals.
But I tell you, that there are a lot of people in the campgrounds in and around where the yurts are, and I think we were the envy of the campground. They are very nice, and they're right out there on the point. I mean, it's a short drive, or there's hiking trails that follow all along the perimeter of Dead Horse Point that you can follow. And so it's a fun experience. I did have a full Dead Horse experience because I go there all the time with my tours, but I've never explored that area as much as I wanted to. So that's, we took advantage of that while we were there.
Yeah. They've got log cabins at Palisades State Park. They've got luxury trailers at any state park. I guess those you'd pull in yourself. But I've seen the Conestoga wagons at East Canyon, but never experienced it. Have either of you?
No, never have.
Yeah, they're becoming very popular. I haven't stayed in a Conestoga wagon, but you're seeing them pop up around the West. I mean, they've got them down in Torrey, Utah, at a couple of different hotels down there, Zion Ponderosa Ranch down the east side of the park, up in Bear Lake at Conestoga Ranch Resort. So they're fun. I mean, they generally, the Conestoga wagon, they don't have facilities, but they have a common restroom and shower area where they have the Conestoga wagons. These are usually found where you have glamping.
Yeah. I've seen pictures of the ones down in southern Utah, and maybe it's the one just outside of Torrey, but they really look cool at night when all of the wagons are lit up from the inside.
Hey, Tim, the luxury trailers, of course, you can bring your own trailer, but you can rent a trailer and have it delivered and parked in a spot for you.
You're kidding.
No, I'm not. The Utah Camping Company.
Is that what it's called?
Well, they're a vendor for the state parks, yeah.
I had no idea.
What a great way to go, huh?
Yeah.
It is.
No hitching, no towing. You don't get in trouble with your wife for trying to back the thing up in the proper spot?
Hooked up. Ready to go.
Sounds like you had some experience.
I think anybody that's ever parked a trailer has had that experience.
By the way, there is another place I just thought of that has, you know, that it's available right now for camping is Height. We don't talk about Height much anymore because the water level's been so low. But the Height Outpost is down there. It's more for dry land adventure right now, although you can get down to the water. You can't launch a boat. But they have an RV park there, and they have some trailers parked there that you can rent. So you don't have to bring your own, but you can stay in one of their trailers there, and then they have a campground, a fairly new campground just within the last couple of years.
Well, that's awesome.
That's a great place. That's a great place to make a base camp, not necessarily for the lake, but that surrounding area. There's so much to explore there.
There really is. It's right there in Glen Canyon National Recreation Area. Yeah. It's a beautiful area. I mean, Highway 95 is one of the most beautiful drives in the state between Hanksville and Blanding.
Yeah. Definitely.
Just want to remind everybody, back to the East Canyon Conestoga wagons for a minute. They've got king beds for mom and dad and twin bunks for kiddos in there.
Those pioneers had it pretty good, didn't they?
Yeah, really roughing it. And it's on the, speaking of the pioneers, it's on the same rugged route through the Wasatch Mountains the Donner Party and the early pioneers used, of course, to get here to the valley. So not quite as uncomfortable as it was in those days, I'm sure.
Yeah.
If you want to see what an authentic pioneer wagon looks like, if you're ever on Highway 12 going through Escalante, they have their Heritage Center there. It has one of the original wagons there at the Heritage Center, and they weren't very big at all. I mean, you could fit that inside one of the Conestoga wagons.
Wow.
with the oxen.
All right, guys, we got to wrap things up here. Bob, remind everybody where to find you and Mark.
You can find us at roadtrippingwithbobandmark.com.
And is that maybe I asked you this last week, is that a GoPro you're using for your video or some other camera?
We've got drones and GoPros and then our regular DSLR cameras that we use for video.
Boy, those drone shots are just amazing. And more people should do it without getting yourself in trouble and doing it where you shouldn't do it. You think about what you used to have to do to get that kind of footage. You'd have to hire a helicopter, have a photographer with an $80,000 to $100,000 camera in his hand. It really is amazing stuff.
It really is. Drone video is so cool. We had a little incident recently with our drones. Needless to say, we're waiting for a new one to be shipped.
Oh no! No, did you soak it in a lake somewhere?
No, it was closely acquainted with a cliff wall.
Oh, you need a new driver, a new pilot.
Hey, it was Mark. Mark was the pilot. I'll put that out there right now. It wasn't me.
Okay.
Although if it had been me, it probably would have happened a long time ago.
Bob, what brand of drone do you use or that you're buying now?
Well, the one is a Mavic. We have a Skydio that's on order, but they're so far backlogged, we probably won't see it for a few more months.
Boy, everybody I know uses that first one. It's Mavic.
Yeah, Mavic. I've heard good things. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're pretty amazing.
Good stuff. All right, buddy, we're going to let you go.
All right, thanks, guys. You have a great week.
All right, Bob.
You too. Thank you. Russ, hang on. We'll wrap up the show when we come back here in just a minute, final minutes. And then, of course, after the top of the hour, my understanding is that the greenhouse this week is going to originate from our friends at I'll have to think about this. I'll tell you what. They're on the road. And they're out in Sandy, right on State Street. And I'll give you the name of where Ton and Maria will be when we come back. Don't go away.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, as we get ready to wrap up the show here, I'm sorry for my memory loss there for a moment. To be sure, Ton and Maria are going to be out at our friends at Biograss, and of course I know right where they are. They're at 99th South State Street. You can't miss it, and they're going to be broadcasting the Greenhouse Show live between now and 11 o'clock. So we'll throw it their way right after we get you an ABC News update. Coming at the top of the hour. Looks like the weather's going to be a beautiful day to go do that and just say hi. Wanted to also throw out here, this came to our attention, and it kind of dovetails with what we were talking about a minute ago with Bob Grove, that Grand Canyon National Park officials have announced that three of the most popular trails, Bright Angel, South Kaibab, and North Kaibab, will temporarily close this weekend, with some other operations being modified. The development comes as local governments in Arizona and the Navajo Nation are waiting for an answer on their request for some federal officials to shut down the national park as cases of coronavirus grow in areas around it. Some parks, including Yosemite, Joshua Tree, and Pearl Harbor National Memorial, have already temporarily closed, and that's in addition to the Montana governor, as we told you earlier, closing down Yellowstone and Glacier. But the Trump administration keeping some parks open, newly free of charge during the coronavirus pandemic, even as managers try and fail to keep up visitors keeping their social distance. If you're going to go out, make sure you mind those orders and just stay 6 feet apart. It'll make sure those trails stay open for everybody to have a place to go and get away. And we'll just wrap up by telling everybody to be kind to each other. During these stressful times, there are a lot of things that people may have already been dealing with in their lives. And obviously, all of these things, not the least of which are some earthquakes that continue to shake our nerves a little bit here along the Wasatch Front, will have people on edge. But be kind to each other. Keep the faith out there. And I'll be back with you along with Amanda Dixon Monday morning starting at 5. Thanks so much again for listening in and being a part of KSL Outdoors Radio. The guys will be back with me next Saturday, bright and early at 6 o'clock. Don't go away, though. Ton and Maria coming up with some more encouraging news for you on the KSL Greenhouse, with a chance for you to get out and maybe do some work in your gardens today. Enjoy your weekend.